From the streets of Melrose Park to the trading floor of the Merc, he's fought for every dollar he's ever earned. And now, with personal liberty and our system of capitalism under assault in America, he's here to seize back our rights from the government. With a cigar in one hand and a copy of the Declaration of Independence in the other, he's Sean Thompson. And this is the Sean Thompson Show.
This looks like a job for me, so everybody just follow me, because we need a little controversy, because it feels so empty without me. I
say we are efforting to get Mark. We will either get him or reschedule. In the meantime, I get so little time with just you and me. I'm going to take advantage of this full force, and we're going to go ahead and prove my point of exactly what is happening to our once great city. It's tragic. It's devolving into a third world hellhole, and there's no question about it. And it's going to be that way throughout the country if the mafia Democrats have their way. But what you're experiencing in Chicago is intentional, because a bust-out scum fraud like Brandon Johnson doesn't mean anything in the real world, and he never did. And the idea that Chicagoans are comfortable not only tolerating being a slave to a corrupt mayor's office and a corrupt short-in-the-pants mafia, once led by Mike Madigan and Ed Burke, now led by these idiots. Oh, he is? All right. Well, I'm going to take advantage. We'll get back to Chicago, and I want to take advantage of talking to Mark. See, Mark started out as an attorney. He started out as an attorney with expertise in debt transactions, turnarounds, bankruptcy, and venture capital. And he started as a venture capitalist. And it's when you're in the finance world, you start to understand the favoritism and the corruption between government and special interests. It really does play over to the small in Chicago mafia, all the way to the big in international play. Mark Glennon is the executive editor at WirePoints. Thank you so much, Mark, for joining me. I appreciate the effort. Thank you.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Well, this is important because, you know, as Chicagoans, we see the backdoor corruption and nationalization of once thriving industries and entire sectors of our economy. And this push by the Dimwit and Diapers administration, some call Joe Biden, to go into this nonsense of electric cars and zero emissions and all the rest of it. This is nothing more than enriching the select few at the cost of the many. But now it's obvious that the select few are in fact the Communist Party of China. And that's a problem. But it does explain why they were bribing his crack-smoking, whore-mongering son into billions of dollars and a multitude of holding companies, doesn't it?
That's right. You know, this Goshen deal is I'm really challenged to think of anything stupider than this. Even if it weren't the Communist Party, we're giving $8 billion in subsidies to pay for a $2 billion plant. Yes, and that's going to a company with clear links to the Chinese Communist Party.
And this is a company that has failed and been exposed in such notable Democrat strongholds like California. Yet that will not deter the Illinois Democrat, who really is the capital of not just communism in America, but unfortunately, it is the capital of this Marxist mafia. And they will not be deterred by fact. They will not be deterred by their constituents. It really doesn't matter what the people of these areas want. They're just going to go ahead and do it. And with this administration in charge, what really can stop them, in your opinion? And you're an expert of law. You're an expert of money. What can stop them? Because this is obviously a deal that's terrible for everybody.
We got some good news today. Just today, a group of Republican congressmen sponsored a bill to at least cut off the tax credits. It's called the No Goshen Bill. And fortunately, three of our congresspeople here in Illinois have signed on to it, Bost, LaHood, and Miller. And they've got a bunch of other sponsors. Hopefully that's going to fly through and put a stop not just to Goshen, but to similar deals like it.
You know, when you look at the companies that have left Illinois, they're companies that have been here for decades, like Caterpillar. They're companies who were bribed to be here by Democrats like Boeing. Where in the world does Illinois have the ability to give this Chinese communist company $8 billion? I mean, when did J.B. Pritzker, a butter-handed trust fund baby who never had a job, when did he become a god in Illinois? And do we not have any state politicians that aren't a handful that want to push back against this? Are the Democrats just all in all the time?
Yeah, well, the state's portion of that $8 billion is $536 million. As you may remember, the legislature authorized a bump up in the kitty that Pritzker has at his disposal to bribe these companies to come here, and he has a free hand to use it as he wants. So part of that $536 million came out of that. There are some legislators who have spoken against this. It's so far just the Freedom Caucus. I really don't know why other legislators in any party aren't speaking up. We just paid for a poll by a good independent pollster that shows strong opposition across all sectors, both parties, to this kind of thing. So I just don't get it, and it makes no sense. I mean, think about this, $8 billion for 2,600 jobs. You could have made 8,000 millionaires. Just give them $1 million, and you could have done that for 8,000 people instead of creating 2,600 jobs.
You know, Mark Lennon, when you set back, you know, you start out, you're a lawyer, and the rule of law in America, the idea that law is not to be the spear, but to be the shield. And you realize how regulation really has taken the place of the spear. And you look at this swindle, this true golden goose of corruption called alternative energies. They've been robbing us since the 70s. These schemes, riddled in fraud, cannot sustain any interest. And when you think about your venture capital days, there's not a business that works on the fundamental principles of return on investment that would be in the alternative energy business if it were not for government welfare subsidies and downright bribery. Would there? I can't think of one.
You know, trillions of dollars into this. I think the government subsidies, that's a good question. Without these government subsidies up and down the distribution chain, I mean, just on electric vehicles or batteries like that Goshen plant, everything in the chain, the parts, the lithium production, everything up and down, you add this all up, it's just one big subsidy. And of course, there's demand is dwindling. People just aren't buying these things. So, you know, the whole sector's in big trouble.
You know, Mark, why I'm so upset all the time is because I started out loving what this country gave the ordinary man. And we have in this country millions, tens of millions of people who have done better than they ever thought they would because they were smart, they took advantage of fundamentals, they practiced some investment, and they rotated into wealthy, into not wealthy. But there was a certain pride in being honest. And I thought all my years, you know, when I was down at the Merck, we had thousands of guys. I just told a story about a guy's sister who just passed away. We started out in the pit together. And you look at what that produced and the competition and the respect for the rule of capitalism in America. How were they able to corrupt so many people, even though it's few, to where all others abandoned the idea of true capitalism? And I'm speaking specifically of venture capitalists. Why didn't they stick up for the principle of right and wrong and true investment versus government subsidies? Did everybody just want to be on the government dole? I don't get it.
It's a big part of it. I think that there's plenty of people in venture capital that want to get their hands on the government kitty, and if they can get subsidies for the businesses they invest in, they'll play that game. Not all of them, of course, but too many of them will do that. To get to the core of the answer, I think it's the school system. You know, from K-12 up through college, I think moderates and conservatives were asleep at the switch as far-left progressives completely took over the school system. And I know my kids, I made a point of asking them and their friends as they went through school, has anybody even explained the difference between capitalism and communism or socialism? No, they had no idea. No one's ever talked to them about that. You know, it's a tragedy, but that's what we're fighting against, of course. And you have the media that only projects the far left's vision. So we got big challenges ahead of us.
I hope they wake up and understand what the government means by this so-called equity inequality is through poverty. And you will be those Venezuelan citizens who are fleeing here because they do understand the difference for the most part, the ones who aren't here just to sell drugs. They will understand the difference for the most part. And hopefully we can pull out of this tailspin, because the reality is, you know what's a startling fact? Where are all the IPOs? Where are all of the venture capitalists? Where are the new industries and investing that are popping up? And you look at it and you realize the pool of honest men working money honestly without government collusion and cooperation and corruption. I don't think that that is even a puddle, let alone a pool anymore. Remember in the 80s and the 90s and the early 2000s, there were thousands of different venture capitalist firms. Now, how many are there? It's like banks. There's a handful, right?
Yeah, these are tough times for venture capital. It's shrinking. And, you know, it's not just in America, too, but billions of people, literally billions of people since 2000 have been lifted up out of poverty by capitalism. It's all capitalist countries where that improvement has come from. Yet what do we turn to? The opposite. We throw away that experience, that history, the clear lessons that are going on around the world. And I just don't get it.
You know, I was talking to my kids, and they're young, right? They're going to get started. They're out of school, and they're getting started in their life. And I was trying to tell them, you have to move to where you're loved if you want to be free. Because when you live in an area like Chicago, when you live in a corrupt state like Illinois, it's better to be in the fraud than fight against it. And when you look at the deals the fraudsters have, there's no consequences for the bald-faced fraud. And when you see this outrage of labor extortion mafias like the UAW cutting this fraud deal where GM gets a $6 billion line of credit and they agree to the terms, and nobody talks of the thousands of former UAW members that were fired during the process, let alone the fact that GM isn't a company anymore. It's a quasi-government pass-through. But when you look at the honest companies that built themselves up from nothing. Remember UPS. How many millionaires did UPS make? Not just the guys who worked there that were able to buy stock before they went public or and the rest of it, but just the benefit of that company. And now since the shakedown of the organized syndicate union, when you see the collapse of their stock price, $83 in 6 months, it's outrageous. Nobody's talking about it. Do you think it's because they understand if they do focus it out as a media, as financial television shows, they're going to lose their license? And we just unfortunately have become that backdoor nationalized quiet Soviet society.
Yeah, you know, another example is that new Stellantis deal. We're waiting to get the numbers there. Pritzker, quote, declined to give us the numbers on how much the state and the federal government are putting in to save that Belvedere plant. Crane yeah. said it's larger than the Goshen subsidies. You know, again, it's great to see those people get back to work. They had you know, it was horrible to see them get laid off just before Christmas. But God, you know, what if we were putting all these billions into making Illinois a business friendly state? You wouldn't need these government bailouts. That's the irony. Instead of driving these people out.
You know what's funny? I am a free market guy. I have been my whole life. Argue against tariffs, argue against all of it, promote freedom and the rest of it. But when you see the way it's been corrupted and the way people seek out that corruption, I'm to the point now where what you just said, a form of austerity. And that's the only cure. Whereas we simply shut down the flow of our business to outside areas and we only go to the areas that promote the true principles and right to work and right to earn. Because when you look at all of these states that are controlled by the mafia, they all are versions of the same corruption, the same fraud, the same family. The only thing different is the names and the size of the waistband, isn't it?
You know, it really is a different mentality. I spent my formative years in Texas, actually, and it's an entirely different mentality that came out of the oil and gas industry, ranchers, you know, the Texas Rangers, all that stuff. They just wouldn't think of looking to the government as a way to advance their lives. And it's been diluted a little bit lately by all the Californians and Northerners moving there. But that spirit's got to be brought back. And, you know, we're going to get that austerity whether you like it or not. Things are going to yeah. get worse in Illinois before they get better. So we're not under any illusion as we write at Wire Points that we're going to save Illinois in the near term. You know, we hope to have some solutions on the table when people wise up. But this is going to get worse in Chicago and across Illinois. Oh, and by the way, we're not getting equity out of the deal. We've written on this, and there was another study on it. You know, Illinois is rated last for equity.
Oh, you know, it's funny, Mark. When I got into real estate, I stopped practicing real estate in Illinois because I didn't hate anybody that much. But it's funny when you go into commercial real estate and you talk to these real estate investment trust, the REITs, and their ideology of Illinois, specifically Chicago and Cook County, if they even held an interest, most international REITs wouldn't touch the property. And I'm going back 15 years ago. So for decades, people knew what Illinois was. It was like the Illinoisans were the last to figure it out. But when you see the open violation of the ad valorem system, people aren't paying taxes on the value of their asset. They're literally paying taxes on the cost of corruption. And you see the empty commercial spaces. I mean, I'm shocked it's lasted this long. I have to believe it's going to collapse at any moment openly and notoriously. Do you think they can hold off the illusion of Illinois being anything other than what it really is, completely bankrupt and void of businesses that are thriving for the most part?
Pritzker is betting that he's doing that. That's obviously part of his presidential bid, that look at all the wonderful things I'm doing in Illinois. No, I don't think it's going to work. And you're right, smart people. You know, Warren Buffett said it all a few years ago, just talking about the pension problem alone. He said he would not invest in a big new project in states like Illinois that had these big pension problems, because his words were, they're coming for your money. And yeah, that's just the pension problem. It's truly an existential threat to Illinois. It has been for years. They ignore it.
It's illegal to me. How do you have an arrangement? Let's just stop calling it a pension. I wish there would be at least a couple of politicians. All right, listen, we'll pay you half-ass wise guys. But it's not going to be called a pension anymore. It's an insult to anybody who knows what return on investment is. It's an employment agreement to be a Democrat and to get your friends and family to vote Democrat. We'll just pay you because you're part of the family. I mean, I wish they'd just be honest about it.
That's well said, and said with a beautiful Chicago accent, too.
Thank you very much. He is Mark Glennon at Wire Points. Thank you for making time for me. I'm sorry about the confusion in the beginning. I appreciate you taking time. Tell everybody at Wire Points I said hello.
I will. Thank you.